We've been studying for the last little while on David and his life and all the things that are going on in his life.
And we've gotten down to 1 Samuel chapter number 24. We'll look at that just for a few minutes, if you would, with us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 24. And we'll just talk about this study as how David treated his enemy. How David treated his enemy, because that's really what the whole chapter reflects, what it tells us about. And we know, we've been studying and looking and seeing that Saul, the king of Israel, has been so angered and stirred toward David that he just wants him dead and out of the way. I mean, that's really the heart and the desire of David, and that's, I mean, of Saul. And that's kind of hard for us to believe, but that's what's going on. So if you will, let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter number 24. Read in verse number 1. It said, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 choice men, or chosen men, out of all of Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again this evening. Thank you for the songs and for the testimonies, for the word of God. Now I pray now, Lord, you just add your blessing to the reading of this. Now I pray you'd stir our hearts and give us direction, give us wisdom, give us exactly what we need from you tonight. And again, we'll just thank you. We'll give you praise and worship and give you blessing as you just honor your word and honor what you said you'd do, that it'd not go away and come back void, but it would accomplish what you set it forth for. And again, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. I say we talk about how David is going to treat his enemy. And first of all, I want you to notice about this, that as you and I look at this, and I mean a lot of us would really see it as David's men saw it, this is David's opportune time. I mean, David's got an opportunity. The Bible says here's Saul chasing after David, and the occasion comes while David is in this area of En-Gedi. His men and he are spread out. They're hiding out. They're in a cave of a place, and all of a sudden they realize they can see off on the horizon maybe that and hear that the army of Saul is coming toward them. Now they realize, man, we got somebody that's after us, and maybe they've heard, and they realize that they are a target, so they go inside a cave and hide. Well, here comes King Saul. Now, he's been chasing the Philistines. He's been having a skirmish or a battle or a time with them. If you remember from the end of the other chapter, that's what kind of broke the chase off from David before. So he's coming back from that. So he's been on a mission or a campaign of war, comes in still hunting David. And by this time, undoubtedly, Saul is tired. And the Bible tells us here that he goes into one of the sheep cotes, one of the areas where the shepherds would keep their sheep. I had Brother Sprayberry singing about that. And there was a cave there, and it says that Saul went in to cover his feet. Saul won't just get out of the sun and take him a little nap. And somebody say amen right there to that. That's a good place to put in amen. He was tired, no doubt. And so he's the king. He's an older man by now. And so he slips off into a cave area and he says, okay, men, keep guard. I'm going in taking a nap. Y'all look or do whatever you do for David. I'll be back with you in a while. I'm going to take a snooze. So he goes into this cave, and while he is there, David has an opportune time to take Saul's life. I mean, man, this is just like, hey, you just handed candy to a baby. I mean, this is going to be easy. And I want you to notice, there are some reasons for David to use this opportune time. First of all, first and foremost, probably on any of our minds would be the idea of revenge. You see what David's men say to him? They said in verse number 4, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand. Oh, David, if you ever wanted to take revenge, buddy, today's the day. You ever sat around and thought that sometimes within yourself? I'll just wait until, you know, whoever it is and whatever the situation is, I'll wait on them to mess up, slip up, or get in a situation, and then I will take my revenge. So David has that opportunity. It's an opportune time for that. As a matter of fact, it's also an opportune time to right the wrong. I mean, if you sit there and think about it, hey, Saul has caused a lot of wrong, and it needs to be straightened out and made right. I mean, there's these men. You remember what we said about these men that are following David back in chapter number, 22, when the people that are following David, it says, here's the people that came to follow him. It said those that were in debt and those that were discouraged and those that were, you know, kind of down and out and under the situation. I mean, everybody was having some problem because of Saul in the land. This is a time to right the wrongs. I mean, man. What more opportune time could there be? And not only that, this is a time to restore order to all of Israel. David, we know you're going to be king. And boy, today's the day. Now is the time. Go ahead and hit while the iron is hot. You need to go ahead and take advantage of this situation. I mean, isn't that the way that, people... just about any man would think, oh, I've got an ideal opportunity right here. Why don't I do this while the opportunity is available to me? And, I mean, you know, just physically looking at it, carnally looking at it, just looking at it as a man and a person, any of us in this room, as I say, sometimes we've thought through the same processes in our mind. And it says... that, you know, his men told him this. Oh, behold, I'll deliver him into thy enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Whatever you think, David, whatever you think, this is the time to do it. Then David arose. Now, I don't quite understand what all the thinking was here, but David went into where Saul was asleep, and he cut off some of the trim of his garment. Cut off the edge of his robes, as it says here, that he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. But Saul didn't know it. Nobody knew it. David did that. But I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's garment. I mean, David's opportune moment. Man, this is the time. Do it. But I want you to notice this. David had an overwhelming thought that hit his heart. Thank God for a tender heart, y'all. Thank God when God can tender your heart to get you to a place where you say, I'm going to do that, I want to do that. And then all of a sudden God hits you right in the heart and says, really? Is that right? Is that what you should be doing? Is this the way to handle it? Is this the way that you'll want to answer before God one day? Is this the way you want folks to see you? Is this the kind of legacy and character that you want to leave behind? Is this what you want everybody to know about you? I mean, that's what happens to it. God hits him right square in the heart. You see that? It came to pass after he, after that David, David's heart smote him because he'd cut off the skirt of his garment. Listen, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master." Amen. I want you to notice the first thing is I want you to know he forbears to strike. He said, "I can't and I won't do it. I won't do it." Boy, can I tell you, there's been a lot of times that I've wanted to lash out. I've wanted to say something. I've wanted to do that. I've wanted to, you know, kind of straighten things out my way. And the Lord said, "Nope." Do you think that that's a godly answer for that situation? And let me just tell you this. Sometimes I do still mess up and goof up, okay? And when it comes to some of those things sometimes, and I don't do the right thing. And you don't either. Say amen right there. Amen. I mean, that's all of us, right? You know what your Bible tells you? A soft word turneth away wrath. That's hard to swallow, ain't it? But I could straighten this out, preacher, in about one punch. Yeah, you could. One little doing, one little deed would probably straighten it out. But David said that his heart was smitten from heaven. His heart got, God got on that thing. And he said, "Nope, this ain't it. This ain't the way." So David, he forbears to make a strike against Saul. Second of all, he forbids his soldier. Look what he says. And he said unto his men, verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand unto him, seeing he is the anointed of his Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise up against Saul. In other words, they said, "Well, David, you don't have to, but we can sure help you with it." Amen? But he said, "Nope, this ain't it, boys." It's amazing how God can act and react in some things and cause us to act and react in some situations where God eventually gets the glory. And listen, I mean, there's all kinds of ugly, mean, and crazy people in this world that do some things. I mean, you know, you stand around and, as I say, you just watch the news or watch something, and you think, "Man, I could fix that in about a half a heartbeat, Lord, if y'all'd let me," you know? I can remember, it's been many years ago when I was pastor out on Sand Mountain, our choir director, and he's quite the manly man. We come in church one Wednesday night, and there'd been some kind of incident in the school. It seemed like had school kids or something, and some children had gotten molested or something like that, and they caught this guy, and they had him down at the Dade County Sheriff's Office, and, you know, it was kind of the buzz of the evening, right? You go into church, and that's what everybody was talking about. "Did you hear about blah, blah, blah," you know, whatever. I didn't know the guy. I didn't know anything about it. But the choir director came up to me, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "do you think that the Lord would just let me alone in the room with that man for about 10 minutes, and I could straighten that whole mess out?" And I looked at him, and I said, "No, I don't think it works that way. As much as me and you would like to work it that way and fix that thing, and we could, but that ain't the way God works, unfortunately, in our way of thinking." See, that's David right here. David is, his men are saying, "Boy, this is it, David. You got the opportune time. Opportunity's knocking. Go ahead and take care of it right now." And all of a sudden, when David gets, really, that's where his leaning is. That's what his thought is. That's the way he's going. And as a matter of fact, he goes over and he cuts the skirt off of Saul's garment. And he's got, you know, "I can make the next move." And maybe he's even thinking about getting his men to make the next move. I don't know who he's got in mind to make the next move. But here they are. And David says, "Look, you can't do that." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise up against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Man, David let him go. I mean, he let him slip through his fingers. But I want you to notice what it said in verse number 8. "And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after him, after Saul, saying, 'My Lord the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself." Amen? Isn't that amazing? You're about to see something here in this last little section that I think should speak to every one of us. So here you see that David comes to a place where he's ready to face Saul. Now, I don't know about you, but I might have been afraid to get to this place. I mean, he might have got away and that'd been all right and we'd let it skip. But he says, I'm going to go out and face him face to face. I'm going to look at him eyeball to eyeball. I'm going to let him know what just happened that he doesn't even know about. So I want you to notice this last of all. Look at David's observed teaching. David is about to teach a lesson to Saul, to his men, and for himself. And then it comes down to me and you too. Notice the things that David is about to teach all of us. First of all, I want you to notice that David teaches us a lesson in humility. David humbles himself. This is not some fake put-on play job when he comes out here. When David cries out, Saul walks away. Saul's going back towards his men, going back towards the group that's out searching for David. And he says, King Saul! And Saul stops and turns around and looks. And there's David. Saul says, My Lord, the king. And when the king turns around, David gets in a posture and bows himself before him. He's not trying to be funny. He's not trying to mock him. He's being in absolute humility before his king. He's saying, Saul, here I am. And he falls down before him. He gives a lesson for himself, for Saul, and then, as I say, for his own soldiers. You need to learn how to humble yourself in certain situations. And listen, take a hard gulp down sometimes and learn this lesson. You and I need to learn some humility. Even in the face of those that despise us, those that don't have anything for us, don't want to have anything good for us. I mean, you and I just swallow hard and bow down and say, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord. Amen? And he bowed down before his king. He gave him a lesson in humility. But not only humility. Look at this. He gave him a lesson in honesty. And David said unto Saul, in verse number 9, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Amen. He said, Moreover, my father, see, yea, I see the skirt of thy robe in thy hand. He picked up that little trim that he had cut off of his robe. He said, For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and kill thee not, know thou and see that there's neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. He said, I'm just being honest with you, King. I could have killed you. I could have taken your life. But in honesty, the Lord would not let me. And I'm not putting my hand on the Lord's anointed. I'm not coming against you. I'm not. Let me just tell you something, friend. You better be careful. When you come up against something that God has ordained or God has done, you better leave it alone. Amen. Do you know that that's why in the Bible, when Jesus says this, he said, Those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Hey, if God's done something, you better leave it alone. You better really take to deep consideration some of the things that you say and you do against those things and those people that the Lord has anointed. I don't understand whatever preacher and every person's doing. I don't understand it all. But you know what? All I can say is, hey, if they ain't against us, they for us. And if they ain't for us, they're against us. But I'm going to let the Lord handle it. And you see what he said? He said, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to let the Lord sort it out. Amen? I'm just going to let God sort this thing out. How's he going to let him sort it out? Well, he said, I'm going to let the Lord judge between me and you. I don't know. He said, let him plead my cause. He will deliver me out of your hand. I'm going to let God take care of this whole situation. And he does. Amen. I mean, that's what he's made up his mind to do. He's being honest. He's being humble. He's being honest. But last of all, I want you to see this. I want you to see the honoring that comes to David from Saul. Look what it says in verse number 16. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, and Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice, and he wept. Now, I don't know what kind of tears these are, but can you imagine? Saul's been with these men that are his soldiers. Saul's been with these guys that are chasing, and they're following. They're doing all this stuff to David. And now all of a sudden, his soldiers see a little different situation. They see David being an honorable man, and they see David being honest and humble, and they see all, and then they look at their king, and what's he doing? He's crying. He's broke down in his heart. Because God, I think God has touched him at this time. And gotten him into a place of weeping. And look, and he said to David, listen, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed me this day how much thou hast dealt with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know, listen to this, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Here is Saul eating some words. He knows the situation now. He understands what God is doing. And he said, you're more honorable than me. I meant to do evil to you, but you've done good unto me. Wow, what a testimony. Well, you know what the Bible says? That God can make even your enemies to be at peace with you when you're doing right, when you're following the Lord. And listen, he said, I know you're going to be the king. I understand that. And that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Look what he says in verse 21. Now he's asking a request of David. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou will not cut off my seed after me, and that thou will not destroy my name out of my father's house. Listen. And David swore unto Saul. And Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold. David has sworn to Jonathan, I'll not cut off the lineage of Saul forever. Now David swears to Saul, I will not take your children's lives and your grandchildren. I'll do what I can for them. And you know all I can think of? Mephibosheth. Amen? You know what that is? It's just simply the grace of God. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, the only thing I can tell you is this. David is the better man. David is that. No wonder the Bible said God was looking for a man after his own heart. And here I'm telling you here that Saul had to admit to those words that God's got his hand on you, son. You're going to be the king, and it's going to restore and establish Israel through you. Amen. That's Somebody said, well, preacher, how do I deal with my enemies? You deal with your enemies the same way that David dealt with his. It's tough and it's hard, and we'd like to have revenge and you know, rebuke and tear up and carry on and whoop somebody and all that sometimes. But, you know, sometimes it's best to do what? Let the Lord fight your battles. Because when he fights it, woo, it gets done the right way, doesn't it? Amen. And this, now, this ain't the end. We're going to see a little bit later. This is not the end of David and Saul and the battle between the two of them. But I can tell you it's a big turning point in how things are going to turn out for the end of it. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song.